Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Let's get our Monday morning health briefing. Today, it's the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran. Doctor, good morning. Let's talk first about a study that coffee drinkers and tea drinkers will enjoy hearing about. Well, what does this tell us?
Good morning, Bob. This is a near and dear study to my heart because I love coffee. This study, which was a very large-scale study, about 172,000 people, where those with no real risk factors at all are diseases of cardiovascular or stroke that drank coffee, and they followed them over about 12 years. And what they found is those that had two or three cups of coffee or tea had a decreased risk for developing type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, or stroke. Now, people kind of equate it to really the caffeine in the coffee or the tea, but just remember that, you know, coffee and tea have thousands of compounds in them. Caffeine is just one of them. And in your, when you look at this, is you feel good because you're drinking coffee, it has some protective factors. But in the context of your overall health, you have to remember that certain heart conditions, if you already have one, of hypertension or fast or irregular heart rates, the caffeine can affect you in different ways. And with anything, there's moderation. It's not going to overall hurt you. It might give you some offer of protection to those diseases, but it's not to overdo it and have multiple cups a day. It's not going to give you more protection, if you think of it that way.
So this study said two or three cups of coffee or tea a day is linked to a lower risk of heart and metabolic diseases. But what if you are having a decaf or an herbal tea? And because part of this this positive health effect is actually from the caffeine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the thousands of compounds that are in there. Like anything, anytime you change the original chemicals that are in there to remove the caffeine, you change the overall consistency of what you're drinking. And what you look at is it's really the brewing of the coffee that gives you all the chemicals that are involved. They can't really say it's linked to just one chemical within the coffee or the tea because there's thousands of them in there. Mm-hmm. It might be beneficial, but if you look at sports drinks that have added caffeine that's in there, it's not like those sports drinks give you protective value like what you get from coffee or teas.
And according to some new research, maybe a little soy milk in your beverage could be beneficial. Tell us about this.
Yeah, soy milk, even though it's processed to get the milk out of it, has shown some benefit in decreasing your overall bad cholesterol and can be linked to reduction in hypertension and decreases your overall inflammation. It's plant proteins that are in it. And with the plant proteins, you get a benefit overall of a protective value, protective kind of connection with the soy milk. Mm-hmm. It is probably the only milk that is a good substitute for cow milk with the proteins that are involved in it.
Now, isn't there some surprising results of this study that have to do with added sugar in the soy milk?
Yeah, I mean, they looked at this overall, and even with the added sugar or non-added sugar, the soy milk did show protective value for helping with decreasing blood pressure, decreasing inflammatory compounds within your body. Mm-hmm. It's best not to have added sugars that are in there, but it didn't really show that huge of a difference. Anytime you can decrease your overall additional sugars, the better off it is.
One thing the researchers seem to be in agreement on, go easy on the alcohol, and there's some new information on this, especially adults under age 50. What's this all about?
Yeah, alcohol being linked to cancer, usually in those that are younger adults, and the moderate to excessive drinking plays a role. The breakdown of alcohol leads to toxic compounds, you know, the metabolites of the breakdown of the alcohol, which can, you know, increase our overall cancer risk for esophageal, stomach, colorectal, breast, prostate even, those increase drinking on a daily basis raises your risk for that.
And we've been hearing a lot lately about younger people developing breast cancer and colorectal cancer at higher rates over the last few decades. Is alcohol consumption one of the reasons, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there is probably one out of every 20 cancer diagnoses can be attributed to some form of moderate to excessive alcohol consumption. So when you think about it, there's been historically we've had, have a little bit of moderate drinking of alcohol as a protective value for your heart, and like red wine. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, anything, there's a balance that you have to go through. So what you get from one side of protection can actually give you a risk on another side for cancer. It might help your heart a little bit. The studies are showing that maybe not because of your increased risk of developing cancers. And over the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen the incidence of these type of cancers be more prevalent in those individuals 50 years of age. And while we have better and more capable treatments to help you once you get cancer, we're just seeing more of them in younger people.
Our Monday morning health update continues with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Thomas Moran. Doctor, let's talk about the progress that's being made as far as a blood test for cancer. And there is some controversy about this, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about this, there's about 60 million Americans that don't get screened for colorectal cancer. Developing a blood test that allows these individuals to get screened to pick up these cancers early is a great thing because they're fearful of having a colonoscopy. So there's a first FDA-approved test. It's called the Shield. What it picks up is DNA changes in your blood from the cancer cells that are growing in your colon. That's great, but it is one of those tests that you already have cancer. A colonoscopy is a screening test to actually pick up precancerous lesions before they actually develop, and the gastroenterologist can remove those lesions. So it's an additive benefit overall, but it is not one of the be-all and end-all, everybody gets this and it's going to be good. It can pick up those cancers that are developed, but it doesn't do really well of the precancerous lesions, and that's why colonoscopies are still the gold standard for the detection and actually the prevention of developing colorectal cancer.
I really don't understand people being afraid of a colonoscopy. I've talked about this before. What's the drug that you're given? Is it Versed?
Versed,
yeah.
Fentanyl, sometimes propofol, which is another medication. Majority of the individuals overall wouldn't even remember anything about it, and
right.
It is pretty uneventful, and it's not anything that anybody should fear.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was sleeping, had a very restful nap, woke up, it's over, and had such a good time, I wanted to come back the next day and get another one. So, yeah, don't be afraid of your colonoscopy, please. This is an intriguing story about staying mentally sharp as you get older. There's a new study about this, and they came up with something called the Mind Diet. What's this all about?
The Mind Diet is really a combination of two diets, the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet. And these diets are, when you think about it, is eating foods that are good for you and protective to your overall health. So you eliminate as much as possible those things that are detrimental. We just talked about alcohol, of increasing your risk of developing cancers. So reduction of alcohol, red meats, saturated fats, added sugars, and go to those things that are really good. Leafy green vegetable, berries, nuts, fish that are high in omega-3 fatty acids. All of those things are brain protective because they help decrease oxidation, stress, and inflammation overall. And the study has shown, really, if you follow these type of diets and, you lead a active kind of life, your likelihood of cognitive decline decreases overall.
So once again, we're hearing that what's good for your heart is good for your brain, right?
Correct.
And again, the Mediterranean diet, that's basically what this is, comes out looking better than almost any other diet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It is a balanced diet that is really high in plant proteins and omega-3 fatty acids, and really eating nuts and berries overall. Those things are really beneficial because of the decrease of the inflammation. And what you're doing is you're taking your diet with the majority of those protective and limiting those things that could be damaging to your brain, to your cardiovascular system, to your kidneys. You think of it overall as, eat well to stay well.
Leafy greens, nuts, berries, fatty fish. And this is a pretty impressive study. What, like 14,000 people?
Yeah, there was a lot of people involved in the study, and it really showed a little bit for the women than the men overall, that decreased the overall cognitive decline, but it was very good just to follow that type of diet.
And it's feeling like fall around here, but don't drop your guard when it comes to mosquitoes. Tell us why, Doctor.
Yeah, August and September, peak season for mosquitoes. It's warm. It's still humid. Mosquitoes carry viruses that can be transmitted. We hear about these when West Nile, Eastern equine encephalitis, dengue fever that come through. They're not super prevalent that are out there because we don't really know many of the people that get infected with them, because majority of the time they have very mild illness. They don't present, so we don't test them. Last year, West Nile, I think, had about 650 or 700 cases overall. And it is, the things you could do for this is wear DEET, decrease standing water that's out there for mosquitoes to replicate. And it is just be cognizant of it, that these are the time where it might be cooler, there's still mosquitoes that are out there that could carry some disease.
Yeah, new cases of diseases like West Nile still being reported in many states. So,
yes.
You have been warned. Thank you, Dr. Thomas Moran, Northwestern Medicine. You have a good week. Talk to you again soon.
You too, Bob. Take care.